a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
What's up, guys? This is End Time Headlines. I'm Ricky Scapero, your founder and your host of End Time Headlines. Today, we welcome you today on this Thursday, May the 5th, the National Day of Prayer. So I want to welcome everyone who's hopping on here today, especially our live viewing audience. Let's talk about you first. First of all, if you're new to the broadcast, we welcome you. We'd like to hear from you. If you're new and this is your first time ever joining any of our broadcasts, let us know in the comment section below where you guys are joining us from and that you are new so that we can acknowledge you and that we can officially welcome you to the broadcast. Again, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. This is news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. We're going to talk about a little bit of a different perspective today. And at this time, I want to officially welcome all of our platforms and those that will be listening on the live and rebroadcast of this on Rumble, on YouTube, on through the app, on the podcast, Apple, Spotify, Facebook, wherever you may be joining us from. Today, again, is Thursday, May 5th. It is the National Day of Prayer. I know many of you believers are gathering together, maybe in your local areas and local regions, especially here in the United States of America. Many students, many of your kids are gathering maybe at their schools or whatnot, and they are praying for our nation. Today, I've got an interesting topic today. I kind of delved into this on our last podcast. If you listen to our last podcast, I talked about the title of it was called The Origin of the Blood from Hollywood to the Supreme Court. We got into some stuff that was dealing with some Hollywood celebrities and that is prevalent there in the occult. And then we talked about the new Supreme Court situations going on there with Roe v. Wade. We talked about the ramifications of that, and we talked about how the blood ties in with that. And I started talking about a lot of this and what I see coming on the forefront. But I'm going to be honest with you today, guys, I have not been able to shake this. So today I'm going to kind of dovetail off of some of the stuff that we got into in our last podcast. And we're just going to kind of take into that. We're going to kind of springboard off of that because I have not been able to shake this. In fact, last night here locally here in the state of Georgia and my region where in my local church, I teach on Wednesday nights, a end time Bible prophecy or eschatology class there. We teach this every Wednesday night. We have a small group that we get together and we talk about these things. And this issue right here that I'm talking about today came up, even it took over, and we talked about this our entire hour that we were there. So I want to kind of share my heart with you, and I want to talk about the two storms that I see converging, and these two storms are going to impact the remnant church. Now, again, if you're expecting to see a lot of PowerPoints on this, you're not going to see them because I did not want to be distracted by that. I just kind of want to share from my heart these two converging storms that are merging together that is going to impact the remnant church. Now, first of all, when I say the remnant church, what do I mean by the remnant church? I'm talking about the blood-bought, born-again, spirit-filled, uncompromising, unfiltered, unwatered-down, not the lukewarm church. I'm talking about the ecclesia, the church that is still preaching the unadulterated, uncompromising, unwatered down gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? Well, let's get into it. I can take you all the way back to the Gospel of Mark. And it says that when John the Baptist came on the scene, he was baptizing in the wilderness in the Jordan. And it says that his message was a message of a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, when he came on the scene and he came and brought a message of repentance and the remission of sins, there were two groups of individuals in John's day. This is where you've got to really listen to me and stay focused today. If you've got to turn off your phone, turn off the television, get somewhere where you can really home in and listen to what I'm saying, this is going to be of importance, because I believe this is all, these things are converging together. There was two groups of individuals in the day of John. They were there and they were present when John was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom, which was a gospel of repentance, a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. The two groups of individuals, watch this, was the government of that day and the religious system of that day. Let me say it again. The two groups of individuals in that day, the two different entities there that day that was present to hear this, was the government of that day and the political power, the political powers, or the government system of that day, and the religious system of that day that consisted of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the teachers of the law. And it says in Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, that many of the Pharisees and Sadducees came to John's baptism. They were intrigued by it. They had heard of it. And when John saw them, he, quote, said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath that is to come?" And he said, "Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I say unto you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these very stones." Now I want to say this. John brought a strong message of rebuke to the government of his day and to the religious system of his day. Are you listening to me? The government of John's day was corrupt. It was evil. It was wicked. It was a tyrannical government. And it was shedding the blood of innocents. Come on, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the religious system of John's day was blind to the truth, but was embracing the culture of that day, and they were in bed with the government and its system of that day. Let he who has ears to hear, let him hear what I'm saying to you today. So we know, according to Matthew chapter 14, now in my last podcast, I did a typo and I said Matthew 13. I had the passage right, but I had the number or the chapter wrong. So I acknowledge that. I want to bring that clarification. Again, it's Matthew 14. And in Matthew 14, we see where one of the Herods, Herod Antipas of that day, arranged for John the Baptist, he arranged for his imprisonment, his persecution, and ultimately his death by beheading. Why? Because he spoke out against a government leader, an individual in leadership of that day who was committing open adultery. And when John rebuked him, It cost him his freedom, and it silenced his voice. Oh, come on. I wish somebody would give me some help up in here, because I'm preaching a right now word to some to right now on this National Day of Prayer. Then after John's departure, his death, we see that Jesus came along. And for 42 months or 3.5 years, according to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I want to bring notice to somebody today that Jesus did not water down the gospel. Jesus didn't conform to the world. He didn't conform to the culture. He didn't change his mind, and he didn't change the message of the day. Just because the prophet of the day was silenced, Jesus rose up and took the baton. John prepared the way, and then when he got out of the way, Jesus came on the scene and continued with the same message, which was repent and turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then we know ultimately, watch this, this message of the gospel turned the modern day world upside down from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Riots broke out, division, discord, dissension. The religious system of his day was flipped on its head because of conviction. And the political governmental system was convicted because of the words that came out of Yeshua's mouth, that was the double-edged sword of the word of God, and it pierced the hearts of those in leadership of that day, because it charged them to repent and turn from their perverse and wicked ways. And ultimately, it resulted in Jesus of Nazareth being put on trial by the government system of that day of Rome, where he was tried and found guilty by the religious system that was fanning the flames, and found him guilty of quote unquote blasphemy. And ultimately he was put to death, and his word was silenced. Oh, I'm going somewhere today. I said there was two systems at work in bed with one another in John's day, and they were in Jesus' day, and it was the governmental system, and it was the religious system. Now, when we say the religious system, I'm not talking about the remnant. Listen, the true remnant of believers today, we are the sheep. Oh, I said, we are the sheep. We are the good fish. We are the wheat, whereas the religious system of its day is what Jesus referred to as the goats and as the tares and as the bad fish that was pulled into the net and needed to be separated. I'm gonna get a little bit deeper in just a moment. But so we have John, who came and brought a message of repentance in his day, and persecution arose because of it, and he was ultimately silenced, and it cost him his freedoms. And then Jesus rose up, took the baton, carried the same message, and it ended up in Jesus, I'm talking about in the flesh here, losing his freedom and cost him his life. But then we know he was crucified, buried, raised from the dead, and he is currently seated at the right hand of the Father. And out of his blood, out of his body came the ecclesia, the church, the true bought, Holy Ghost-filled believers that I'm talking to today that have not compromised. But watch this. Then we go to we find in the book of Acts chapter 2, the birthing of the church, when they were all together in one mind and one accord. We see the birthing of the church, of the ecclesia, the true remnant. And when the Holy Spirit was being poured out, there was those that were present and they inquired of what is going on. What is all this ruckus about? That's a Southern term. Don't worry about it if you don't know what I'm talking about. What is all this chaos about? And Peter stands up and he says, quote, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were convicted. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Listen to Peter's message. He says, "Then Peter said unto them," ready? "Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So we see John brought a message of the gospel of the kingdom, which was a message of repentance and turn from your sins. And then Jesus came and continued the same message. Jesus was crucified, buried, rose from the dead, seated to right hand of the Father, raises up the ecclesia, raises up the church. And Peter, being the pillar of the church, of the New Testament church, comes on the scene. He has not compromised. He has not strayed from the message of the gospel. And he stands up and preaches repentance. In Acts 3. He says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Acts 17, the word of the Lord says, truly, this is Acts 17:30. "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now," I said, "but now." Somebody say, "but now." "Now commands all men everywhere to repent." I know it's not popular today. I know it's not preached today. I know we don't hear this on Christian television anymore today. We don't hear this on Christian radio. We don't hear this on Christian satellite television programming today. We're not hearing this behind pulpits and churches today, and a lot of churches across the America and even in the world today. Why is that? Because somewhere down the road, from the early church till now, the devil has managed to come into a sleeping church. You don't want to get me started today. The Bible, Jesus said, when men slept, the enemy comes in and he allows tares to be sown among them. The truth is, we today, something has been birthed, and it's from the pits of hell, and it's called progressive Christianity. And it all it is a gospel of the tares and of the goats and of the bad fish. It's not the true gospel. It's not the gospel that John preached. It's not the gospel that Jesus continued. And it's not the gospel that was passed down to the early church and even the early church fathers. So somewhere from point A to point B, we have strayed. We are fulfilling Bible prophecy by turning from sound doctrine and wanting our itching ears scratched, and we've gathered around us hand-picked teachers, preachers, apostles, prophets, pastors who will teach to us and preach to us and scratch our itching ears what we find convenient and what we want to hear. But it's not getting people converted. It's not getting people saved. It's not getting people healed. It's not getting people transformed. Oh, I'm really going to plow when I get to the end of this. Then we go all the way to nearly to the end of the book of Acts. Or at least as it was written, because the truth is the book of Acts is the only Bible or the only book in the New Testament that did not close with amen, because it's still being written today. Anyway, you go to Acts 26, 19 through 21, and Paul is on trial here before King Agrippa. And listen to what he says, quote, "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works befitting repentance." Can I give you why we, listen, guys, on this National Day of Prayer, can I say something that's really going to make some people mad? Because you know I got to do that at least once in every podcast. I'm just saying, we don't need a National Day of Prayer. We need a National Day of Repentance. Listen, it wasn't prayer that produced a reprieve for Nineveh to be spared from judgment. I'll almost say it again. It wasn't prayer that spared Nineveh from judgment. You ready for this? It was when the king and the common people of Nineveh repented and turned back to God that a reprieve was given. And the last time I checked, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it said it's got to start with the church. With my people, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves in prayer. That's a connotation for fasting. That's something else that nobody does anymore, because that's radical Christianity and that's extreme. And we've listened to a lot of counselors and Hollywood doctors on television that try to tell us that fasting is bad for our health. Listen, it's amazing how fasting is bad for your health when it deals with religion, or if it deals with the cause of faith, it's bad for your health. And you better watch out for that, because that's dangerous. But it's not dangerous when it's for looking better or trying to get those six-pack abs. Listen, I'm telling you. He says, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves in prayer and turn from their sin and their wicked ways. Listen, we can pray all day long, but until we resurrect the early church message, which was a message of repentance, and we repent of our sins, repent of our abominations, repent of our wickedness, repent of the sins that have got us into this place. Look, you think it's a coincidence that right now the stock market is tanking? It's a bloodbath in the stock market on Wall Street today. All indicators are thrusting us into a major global recession. And it just so happens that today is the quote unquote day of, or the National Day of Prayer. Now, the National Day of Prayer is not for sinners, because sinners don't acknowledge the National Day of Prayer. I'm talking to the church today. This day is a day that we need to recognize that, just like it was warned to us in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, any nation that turns from the living God, revolts against his kingdom, his precepts, his words, his commandments, and they begin to put their faith in other quote unquote little g gods. Some of those little g gods are the stock market, the government of the day, Wall Street, our military, our jobs, our security, these things that are temporal, and other things we grasp for to put our trust in, and we turn from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God said, when this happens, I will have no choice but to lift my hand of protection from a nation. And you read it in Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, and he says, all these curses shall come upon you. And it's not good. It talks about famine. It talks about drought. It talks about food shortages. It talks about lack of rain or too much rain. It talks about pestilences and plagues and terrorism and disasters. Listen, true repentance leads to salvation. Number two, repentance will lead to diligence. You will hunger after more of God and desire to mature. In other words, you'll live a lifestyle of repentance. Number three, it's a clearing of your conscience. You will have total peace despite your circumstances. Number four, it produces righteous indignation towards sin and not be comfortable in sin. We got a lot of quote unquote Christians that are comfortable in the condition and the environment that our nation is right now because they're playing around in it too. Oh, I'm going to speak it louder for the back row. It's kind of hard to get, listen, it's hard to not be indignant over something that you have a hand in participating in. Nobody's going to get worked up about adultery if they're living in it. Come on, somebody. It brings back and resurrects a healthy fear of God. No, here's another one. It brings a vehement desire to be in the house of God, in His word and in His presence and among His people. It brings zeal in your life. You will have a driving force of the Holy Ghost to fulfill His purpose for your life. You will have vindication. You will look upon the nation and see the condition that we're in and desire to see God's justice prevail in the earth. David said, "How long, O Lord, shall the wicked triumph? When, God, will you step out of your habitation and put an end to what's going on?" But can I talk to you about the two coming storms that are going to impact the remnant? Listen, the counterfeit church is going to be approved by the government system. Let me say that again. The counterfeit church poses no threat to the government system of that day. It's not rocking the boat. It's not convicting them of their sins. It's not charging them. There's no message that's coming out of their mouth that is going to prick their heart. So they have compromised to the point where they have conformed to the government and its powers. But the true ecclesia, the true church, who stands for righteousness, who stands for the word of God, the unadulterated, unwatered down word of God and truth, they, just like, watch this, in John's day and in Jesus' day and the modern church day, will suffer persecution because of it. Remember, I told you, you go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. On my last podcast, I talked about this. You go in the Revelation 20, verse 4, which puts us in the tribulation. We're not there yet, but we're headed there. You will discover that John catches a glimpse of saints that have been beheaded. Watch this. Why have they? He tells you. For their witness to Jesus, number one. Number two, because they've stood on the word of God. Number three, they refuse to worship the beast or his image. And number four, they refused to receive the mark of the beast. Do you see that? This is in the tribulation. So I pose to you today, or I propose to you rather, that before we get to that, there is going to be two systems that I believe with all my heart that are going to be involved in putting this together, this type and this level of persecution that we saw in the early church. What am I talking about? The early church persecution. Here's what I'm talking about. During the Great Persecution, which lasted from 303 to 312, 313, governors, listen to this, were given direct orders from the emperor. This is talking about during the Roman time. Christian churches and literature were to be destroyed. Meetings for Christians and worship of believers were forbidden. And those Christians who refused to obey lost their legal rights. Later, it was ordered that Christian clergy be arrested and that all inhabitants of the empire sacrificed to the, quote, little gods, that's G-O-D-S, gods. But no specific punishment was prescribed by these edicts, and governors retained the leeway afforded to them by distance. The Acts of the Apostles in your Bible tells the story of the early church and contains multiple accounts of persecution that arose. And by the way, in the Roman time, persecution became so bad that eventually they would hang believers on crosses and set them on fire to light up the night skies in Greece and in Rome and Athens and different places. You can go to the early church writings. You can go to the Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you will discover the fate of many of the early church apostles and disciples. Some of them were crucified. Peter was crucified upside down. There were some that were boiled in oil. There were some that were filleted like fish. Some were killed by beheading. Some were killed by the sword. Others were ripped in half by horses. Others were sawn in half. Why? Because of their testimony to Jesus, because of the word of God, and because they refused to bow down to the, watch this, to the two emerging systems of that day, watch this, which was a radical government of that day, that the gospel of Jesus Christ rubbed them the wrong way. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to see it. They didn't want any part of it, and they wanted it shut down because it opposed the lifestyles of the majority. It convicted them. And the other front was the radical religious system of that day that were their systems, or their seat of government control of the religious system of that day, was threatened by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because of that, they had blood on their hands just as well as the government system of that day in persecuting and killing Christians. Now, if you think, listen, history will repeat itself again. And guys, I am seeing the handwriting on the wall as we speak right now. Right now, we see the same thing happen to you. The same two fronts are in bed with each other again. And isn't it interesting when you get to Revelation 13, you have an antichrist and a false prophet. One controls the political governmental system of the day, and the false prophet controls the religious system of the day. And isn't it ironic that those two will work together? The religious system and the governmental system will merge together, and they will target the remnant church. And just like Nebuchadnezzar in the day of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would be considered in today's perspective as radical Christians, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel would be considered to be radical because they refuse to bow down to the governmental system of that day. They refuse to compromise. They refuse to comply. They refuse to worship the God of that system. When Nebuchadnezzar gave the decree, I have made an image, and it's so many feet tall and so many feet wide. When you hear the sound of the musicians and all the people in places of government begin, he said, they will bow down and you will worship this image. And what did the Bible say? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they made their face like flint. They chose ahead of time. They didn't choose. They didn't wait until they were cast into the fiery furnace to make this decision. They, before they ever got tossed in that fiery furnace, they said, we're going to stand on the side of Yahweh, on the side of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even if it cost us everything. And we know the story. They didn't comply, and persecution arose because of it. Daniel, same thing. What did they tell him? What did the government system tell Daniel? You will not pray to your God. I'm telling you guys, this is where it's coming. And persecution came. He was in prison and he was put on death row because he did not comply to the government system of that day, which was the Medes and Persians of that day. Now, here we are, present tense, 2022. Listen, we all know I don't need to elaborate on the government system of our day. Listen, it is astonishing that you have individuals that are foaming at the mouth, bloodshot eyes, gnashing their teeth and grinding their teeth and shaking their fist in the air because they want the ability and the power and the freedom to shed innocent blood. And if they don't get it, there's going to be consequences. And I said it, I warned it. This very thing going on in the Supreme Court is opening the very bowels of hell as we know it. But I don't want to focus on that. Let me talk to you about the emergence of this radical religious system of our day. Because listen, I base this on the Word of God. In order for us to get to the book of Revelation chapter 13 and to a point where it's going to repeat a cycle, again, just like it did, that which was, past tense, is that which shall be. So that tells me that everything is coming together. The falling away or the apostasia is, watch this, the defection of truth. It means the departing of what is sound and what is truth to embrace what is false and what is counterfeit. Hello, true Christianity versus progressive Christianity. Watch this, because progressive Christianity embraces and advocates things that the Bible and God calls wicked and an abomination. But the remnant, the true bought Christianity and true bought church have not watered down, have not compromised the Word of God, and they are holding fast to that and true to that. And they will continue just like John and Jesus and the early church. They will preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And just like in those days, the message of the gospel of the kingdom of repentance tore at the hearts and pierced the hearts of the government system of that day. And it irate them and it enraged them until they acted upon it and arrested, fined, incarcerated, and eventually put to death the mouthpieces of the gospel and the religious system I can take you to the book of Acts, chapter 12. And there's another Herod that rises up. And it says that he killed James, the brother of John, by the sword. And the Bible says, because it pleased the Jews, he was ready to kill Peter to do. Did you catch that? Here you have the government system putting to death Christians, and it pleased the religious system of that day. Can I tell you this, guys? The remnant ecclesia, the remnant church, is going to become and already is a thorn in the flesh, not just to the government system of our day, but it's going to be a thorn in the flesh to the progressive church of this day, because we stand in the way of their agendas. And I could go a lot deeper in that. I could talk about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans that Jesus said, I hate, in the book of Revelation, that was a fleshly, carnal doctrine that believers got into and embraced. And that would be considered really close to the progressive Christianity that we're seeing today. So this is no new thing. This is not caught off guard. God is not just falling off of his throne saying, I cannot believe this is happening. Guys, everything is falling into place. So here's where I'm going to end this word today. You have to ask yourself today, where am I standing? Where am I going to stand? Listen, if you were on the bank of the Jordan in the days of John the Baptist, where would you be standing? Would you be standing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law that he's looking at you and calling you a brood of vipers full of dead man's bones? Or where would you be in Jesus' day? Would you be cheering on the religious crowd that was cheering on the death and crucifixion of Christ Jesus? Where would you be in the days of the early church? Where would you be standing with Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, Matthew, any of these? Where would you be standing? Or would you be with the religious crowd of the day? Would you be agreeing with the government system of that day? Saying, listen, we can't have this message circulating because it's causing, ready for this, hate, division, and discord. So therefore, we have to do something to stop it, to silence it, and put it to an end, lest there be an uprising. Oh, yeah, I don't know if you're hearing me today. So you have to ask yourself, where am I going to stand? Because guys, listen, it's not a question of if this is going to happen. This is going to happen, and it is happening. Don't think that the Bible is not going to become a target of hate speech. And the words of Christ and the words of the early church apostles, the word of the New Testament, it's going to be considered hate speech and division and disunity. So, where are my Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's today? Where is my Daniel's today? Where is the Peter, James, and John's today that will say, listen, whether you say this is offensive or we can't do this, we rather obey God than obey man. Where are you at today? Because listen, if you can't stand now, before this comes, you will definitely not stand when it's coming right at your door. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray today. Listen, I don't care where you're at, where you're in your relationship with God. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. I don't care if you're a man, if you're a woman. I don't care if you've been in a church for 5 years or 50 years. We're going to pray right now, and then we're going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray for an individual level, and then we're going to pray for on a national level. Father, in the name of Jesus today, Lord, I have delivered this word that has been just vexing my heart. It has been piercing my heart for the last 2 to 3 days. I have delivered what I felt like the Holy Spirit has put on my heart, and I pray that it would not return void, but this word would go forth and it would equip, it would establish, and it would produce fruit. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would convict every heart of every man, woman, and child that's listening on the other end of this microphone or this camera. And if they're not right with you, or if they're away from you, I pray that this message convicts them and charges them, and they would repent today. Repent of their selfishness. Repent of their pride. Repent of their sins. Repent of their lawlessness. Repent of their iniquities and their transgressions and their trespasses. And that they would turn and they would come back to you, God, or turn to you, God. And that, Lord Jesus, that you would wash them and cleanse them of all unrighteousness, and that you would inscribe their names in the Lamb's Book of Life, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, Father, today, Lord, on this National Day of Prayer, Lord, I don't want to be like everybody else, God. We repent today. We stand in today as the ecclesia, as the church, as your people. We ask today that, Lord, you would forgive us, the church, for turning a blind eye to iniquity and transgressions and trespasses on a national level. Forgive us, Lord, for not being a voice, for not standing up, for not standing in the gap and making up the hedge. Forgive us for being cowards and compromising, but Lord, give us the boldness, just like in the New Testament when the early church came together. And they didn't pray for materialism. They didn't pray for recognition. They didn't pray for notoriety. They didn't pray to be famous. They didn't pray for platforms. They said, Lord, grant your servants boldness and power that we may proclaim the everlasting, uncompromising gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for anyone and everyone that shall believe on him. And Lord, I pray that you would grant it to us today so that we can be bold as lions and we can declare the truth, that we can declare the gospel today, and that we can call all men and women unto repentance today and preach the message that the early church continued to preach, and that was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And we pray it today in the mighty name that is above every name, the only name given under heaven unto men in which we must be saved, the name of Jesus. All God's people said amen and amen. Guys, listen again. Endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. That's where you can find us. Again, if you're not downloaded our free app, I want you to do that today. Right, if you're listening by Facebook Live, Rumble, or YouTube, in the description of this message, there is a place that says download our free app. There is a link. Please click on the link. Get the app today on Apple and on Android. You can also subscribe to our main website and get a daily digest. You can do that at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Go do it today and keep up with all of our latest headlines. You'll be notified of our latest podcasts that you can watch or listen at your leisure. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry continues to be a source of information, revelation, equipping, encouragement, we want to give you the opportunity. Again, we operate out of a partnership base. Everything is free. The messages are free. The podcast is free. The app is free. The subscription base is free. The digest is free. Everything is free. All we ask that if you've been blessed by our ministry, or if this is your, for some of you, this is your home church, whatever your relationship with this, you pray about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, and you be obedient, and God will bless you in return. And it helps us to remain strong and active today to continue to do what God's called us to do. And you can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app. That's the easiest way. Or through the main website. Or you can give right there on the screen by check or money order and make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia 30655. As always, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to hop on here today and be a part of our broadcast. We're going to sign off for today. Lord willing, we'll be back on here tomorrow. And I want to share with you something that's a headline. And there's an event that's coming up in about a week or so, and it coincides with a very important date. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow on tomorrow's broadcast. So until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you in Jesus' name. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.